Hi, everyone. I'm Deb. I'm a compulsive eater and sugar addict, and I'm happy to be here today. I went to my first OA meeting on March 8, 2008, here in Tucson. I was at my top weight, 176 pounds. My current abstinence date is March 2nd, 2020, and my current weight is 151. OA has changed my life in every way. When I came to the program, I was discouraged, frustrated, and miserable. I started dieting in high school and tried many methods to control my eating. Nothing worked permanently. My struggles with food made me feel like a failure and that something was wrong with me. At my first OA meeting, I found hope and friendly people who seemed to think like me. I've never left the rooms, and I believe if I do leave, I will die from this disease. I no longer must do this on my own. I have a higher power, a sponsor, the local fellowship, and a worldwide fellowship that is available to help me if I'm willing to do the footwork. For a long time, I minimized the seriousness of compulsive eating. I told myself that it wasn't as deadly as alcoholism or drug addiction. It may be a slower death, but the inability to control my behavior and the resulting self-loathing are the same. I lied to myself that I wasn't that bad because I wasn't morbidly obese. My disease manifested more in problems emotionally and spiritually. I did have some physical discomfort from my excess weight, but what made me most miserable was how down I was on myself. I thought I had to figure out a reason why I ate compulsively, but I believe I was born that way, just like any other physical characteristic. I'm powerless over being a compulsive eater, just as I'm powerless over my genetic makeup. I used to think it was up to me to fix myself. I thought if I wasn't fat, I'd be happy. I was big on self-help books and therapy. I tried hypnosis, as well as every new diet that was in the news. The diets worked for a while, but I always gained the weight back and more. When I came to OA, I realized that my weight was really not my biggest problem. I had a rewarding career, a husband and three healthy children, a nice home, and a loving extended family. I thought I should be happy, but instead, I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. I had mixed up ideas about how to be in the world. I thought I was capable of instructing others how to live their lives and became angry when they didn't listen. I was demoralized by what other people thought of me, though I thought I was sure of myself. I practiced my character flaws of judgment, rage, self-pity, envy, greed, and dishonesty. The dishonesty was mostly with myself about how much I was really eating. I blamed other people for my problems. Not only was my weight out of control, but my life was unmanageable in other ways. I was upset with people for doing things in ways I didn't agree, and I felt like I needed to give advice and control others. I wanted to get my way because I thought I was right. I now know I don't know what is right for anyone else, and it's not my business. Some of the times I don't even know what's right for myself, so how could I know what's right for others? I feel like I was mistreated and a victim of my circumstances. I have learned that the answer to my problems is reliance on a higher power to do for me what I cannot do for myself. The first time I worked the 12 steps was the most powerful recovery experience. I've worked the steps many times since, and there is always more revealed. In step one, I began to understand my addiction to food, especially sugar, and that overeating is a symptom of a spiritual malady. I admitted I was powerless over controlling food and that the way I was living was unmanageable. I had to get honest with myself, which has been a slow process. In steps two and three, I started to develop a relationship with the higher power, who I call God. I do this by daily prayer, expressing gratitude, and asking for help with my eating and my character defects. When I'm troubled with making a decision, I ask God to increase or decrease my desire, then wait for direction. I began to have more intuitive thoughts and a desire to be of help to other people. I know if I have a thought of doing something that isn't my usual way of doing things, that it's likely coming from my higher power. In step four, I made a list of my resentments, fears, and harms to others. By doing the work of the fourth step, I realized that most of my troubles arose from my own low self-esteem. This was a big surprise to me, as I was accustomed to being a bossy know-it-all. Step five was sharing my written inventory with my sponsor, to whom I will be forever grateful for. She listened without judgment and helped guide me to see myself clearly for the first time. I felt as though that weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. In step six and seven, I made a list of my character flaws as well as my assets. It was easier for me to admit my flaws than to recognize my assets, but I'm getting better at giving myself credit when credit is due. Perfectionism is a flaw that causes me to be hard on myself and other people too. Now that I have awareness of these common character defects, I can identify them when I am troubled and know that I can ask for help. Step eight was an inventory of people I owed amends to for my past behavior. Most of my family was on the list, as well as many other people in my life. Making amends in step nine was an amazing experience. The format was simple but not easy. I listed my harmful behavior, let the person know I was sorry, and asked if I had left anything out. I then asked what I can do to right the wrongs I had done. It was scary and humbling, but one of the most healing experiences of my life. Some amends are monetary, some are a change in my behavior going forward, also called living amends. My relationships were healed and strengthened by this process. I work step 10 by doing an ongoing assessment throughout my day. If I owe an apology, I do it as soon as I can to clean up my mistakes as I go along. On page 84 of the Big Books of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Step 11 helps me keep my contact with God and reminds me that He is running the show. I burned up so much energy trying to run my life and everyone else's, and it is a relief to turn my life over to God. I do this through prayer and meditation and working my program. Step 12 is all about service to others. Before recovery, I overextended myself and became exhausted and resentful. Now I have a balance and a sense of what it means to do my part versus running the show. I've had service positions at the group and intergroup level. I sponsor others and I have a sponsor. Both the service and the sponsoring has helped me at least as much as I have helped others. I make my best effort to follow through on what I've promised to do in a timely manner. I've learned that good self-esteem comes from doing esteemable acts. I've learned through experience and recovery that only by being completely surrendered to the OA program and my higher power am I able to stay abstinent and receive the gift of relief from my character defects and my obsession with food. I'm happier today than I've ever been in my life. I'm filled with gratitude even for the things that seem bad. Some of the hardest situations in my life resulted in the most important changes. My dad's alcoholism and sobriety introduced me to 12-step recovery. My dad is now 94 years old, and he's been sober for 34 years. My son's drug addiction helped me to look at my addictive behavior around food and got me to OA. When he was in inpatient therapy in 2008, it helped me to look at my behavior, and that's when I made a commitment to go to OA. And my son has also been sober since then. Both of their recovery journeys have inspired me to find the God of my understanding to help me with my recovery. My husband and I divorced after 36 years of marriage, which was 6 years ago. And I can see my part in the breakup and have made amends to him. We are both happier now and remain good friends because we share 3 adult children and 3 grandchildren and 1 on the way. My relationships with my children are better than they ever have been. I can mind my own business and not give advice unless asked, for the most part. My sister is my best friend, and I'm close with my brother, and I'm very close with my dad, and I'm so proud of him and respect him so much. Any resentments I have toward my family members are gone by the grace of God. OA and reliance on God is working for me. My food isn't perfect. I have slips, but I keep coming back to the things that worked for me in the past. On most days, I don't have too much interest in food. I feel that food is in its place. I enjoy eating good food, but it's not on my mind all the time. Relying on God is different than the independent attitude I've always had. But I was tired of feeling so much pressure. I don't have to carry the world anymore because that's God's job, not mine. And it wasn't working anyway. One of my favorite passages in the big book is about acceptance, and I'd like to read it now. It's on page 417. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I could accept my alcoholism, I could not stay sober. Until I accept life completely on life's terms, I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. I also wanted to share the reading from Voices of Recovery this morning because it really spoke to me. December 12th. The 12th step invites us to continue the journey one day at a time for the rest of our lives. We need to keep moving forward in recovery, keep developing our spiritual consciousness if we are to remain spiritually awake and fully alive. From the 12 and 12 of OA. There is one fear that I hope my higher power never relieves me of, the fear of complacency. Several times I've come into this program full of pain and despair. And then later I've left, cocky, convinced I was cured. 2 things have led to my downfall. The refusal to surrender to step 1 and complacency. Today I'm convinced that I'm powerless over food. And if I allow complacency in my program, my life will become unmanageable. When I don't take time to read the literature, make phone calls, provide service, or talk to my higher power, I've stopped moving forward in recovery. My disease has won a battle, and it doesn't take many battles for my disease to declare victory. Complacency is a powerful, frightening aspect of my disease. Each day, I need to remember that this journey I'm on is full of hope and life. If I stay on its path, my higher power will lead me forward. Thank you for letting me share.